Hello, everybody, and welcome to News to Drink To. My name is Finn Hamilton. Mr. Smith, Mr. Lee Smith, is not here today because he went and got himself into the finals of the New Forest Comedian of the Year. So this will be a solo effort. But of course, congratulations are in order. What can I say? The man's going places. And whether he likes it or not, he will be dragging me all the way with him. But I've got a couple of reviews here for you, some videos to go look at, and just, you know, general, the usual stuff. Just quieter, I guess. First thing I want to talk about is this documentary that came out on Disney Plus, I think just yesterday. It's called Stan Lee, and it's all about Stan Lee, the guy behind Marvel Comics. I hated this documentary, and probably not for the reasons that you're thinking. If you're regular here, you'll know that I'm not a Marvel fanboy. I don't particularly care for it. I certainly don't go around in fucking Iron Man t-shirts and all that bullshit. However, you would have thought, or I would have thought anyway, that Disney would dedicate more than 86 minutes to the man who created what is one of their biggest cash cows. This documentary is supposed to be like about his whole life. Hour and 26 fucking minutes. That's it. You could make like, I don't know, 10 hours on this guy, couldn't you? Like episodic, hour each. Especially considering they have another documentary out at the moment called Light and Magic, which is 6 hours long, which is all about the creation of Industrial Light and Magic. I'm two episodes away from finishing it. It is good. I would recommend it. But it does get quite heavy on the technical stuff. So it's like I said, it's good. But if you're a, you know, be prepared for some nerd alerts whilst watching that. If you are a fan of the technical side of filmmaking, then definitely check it out. But this Stan Lee documentary, like I said, it's an hour and 26 minutes. It doesn't tell you anything, but there's no like revelations in it. It's actually kind of boring, really. And it starts in the 1920s when he's born, 1922, I believe, and it goes up to about 1970, and then it jumps to 2010. It skips over a whole 40 years. Some would argue that those 40 years are probably the most interesting time in Marvel's history. This is when, during like, say, like the 90s, when Marvel was really struggling as a company. They nearly went bankrupt. It skips over all of that stuff. It skips over the early 2000s when they started to get big again with the early movies like Spider-Man, Blade, the X-Men film. And literally just skips straight to Robert Downey Jr. It just feels like such a waste of time. Like, if you're going to do it right. The film doesn't even mention that he's dead. Or that his wife died. This film, if you didn't know otherwise, you might end this and think, well, he's still alive then, right? It doesn't even mention that he fucking died. Yeah, pointless, waste of time. But that does lead us nicely into the Spider-Verse. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is out in cinemas at the moment. It's getting really good reviews and everybody's loving it. Just this week, however, I actually went and watched the first one, Into the Spider-Verse, for the first time. I'd never seen it. I thought I had, but I hadn't. And I have to say, I loved it. I thought it was outstanding. It's a great story. Miles Morales is a great character. Now that we are, you know, we're kind of done with Peter. We know Peter's story. We've done it loads of times. Miles Morales is he's a great character. The animation is spectacular. I don't think I've seen anything quite like it, if I'm being honest. Not since maybe like Akira and those kind of films. And it got me excited about Spider-Man again. It'd been a while since I gave a shit really about Spider-Man. I love the Maguire movies. Well, two of them. The third one, we all know it sucks. I felt the Garfield movies were unnecessary. Not terrible, but just kind of unnecessary. And I didn't really care for the Tom Holland stuff. It was just more MCU stuff. The last one was, I'll give it, yeah, it was quite enjoyable. But still, just not really for me. So I'd kind of fallen out of favor with Spider-Man. Saw this in the Spider-Verse, fucking loved it. Literally went out the next day and bought Marvel Spider-Man, the video game, on the PS4 for like 15 quid. And then if you stick it in a PS5, £5 extra, you can update it to the remastered PS5 version. So I've been playing that at the moment and really enjoying it. I have played it before. I think I'm enjoying it more the second time around. But anyway, Across the Spider-Verse, which is currently in cinemas and is getting rave reviews, I haven't seen it yet, but Mr. Smith has. And the idea was I was going to review Into Spider-Verse and he was going to review Across the Spider-Verse. But like I said, he can't be here. So he has sent a video That's right, everybody. He is literally phoning it in, Mr. Big Shot. Disclaimer, I haven't watched this, by the way, so I don't know what he's about to say, but I'm going to guess that he loved it.
Right, hello. Sorry, I can't be with you today. I am away attempting to win a career in comedy, so we'll see how that goes. I did go and see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Why is he standing up?
The other day, so a quick review for you. It's I very much enjoyed the first one. The first one for me is right up there with one of the best Spider-Man films, like of all time. Like it's right up there with Spider-Man 2 and No Way Home. So like it's a great film. And this is, I mean, this is.
Is that a lapel mic you're wearing? Who does he think he is? Mr. Big Shot here. Jesus.
Very, very close. Like, the animation is stunning, much as it was in the first one. It's pretty much the same sort of level. The characters are incredibly well written. The plot is great. There's a lot of characters, but the ones that matter, like, really get, like, a decent go at, like, a full arc. The only thing I will say is it does miss, like, the presence of some characters such as Spider-Man Noir and Spider-Ham from the first one, who are fantastic. They're not in this, but
I love Spider-Man Noir, by the way. Favorite, definitely. And apparently, sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Smith, apparently we are getting, it is in the works, there is going to be a Spider-Man Noir TV show, which I'm really excited about. Not with Nicolas Cage, though.
Their presence is felt. If you like. So it does feel very much like a middle film. There is another one coming, apparently, because this will be like part of a trilogy. So this does feel like very much like the middle part of the film, as these things often do, but doesn't make it any less enjoyable. It's absolutely fantastic, and I highly recommend it. I think you should see it. Yeah, so thanks very much.
Why are you doing this? I can't. There's 10 seconds left. This is like the end of Pearl.
Pearl. Back to the studio.
Look at his face. Oh, well done. Well done. Right, let's get rid of that. yeah, apparently it's really good. Right, okay. The next thing I want to talk about is Batman Forever. The director's cut. So, okay, here's the story. 1995, Joel Schumacher releases Batman Forever. It's not very good. Joel Schumacher is a fantastic filmmaker, and most people agree that he isn't really to blame for what we ended up with in the form of Batman Forever and then Batman Returns. I don't hate Batman Forever. I know it's not very good, but I don't hate it. Now, fast forward to 2020, Joel Schumacher passes away, and just after his death, rumors start circulating that a Batman Forever director's cut does exist, and it's longer and darker and far more serious than the kind of camp nonsense that we got, okay? Now, in 2023, it's been revealed it does indeed exist. And Kevin Smith, the director, has a copy of it and he's seen it, okay? And he plans to do a review of it on the 19th of June, which is 2 days away from the day I'm recording, after he's seen it on his podcast, okay? As it stands, I could not find any information, correct me if I'm wrong, I could not find any information regarding an actual release as to whether we, the public, are going to get to see this director's cut, okay? But Kevin Smith has, and he's going to review it. And personally, I don't agree with this. I think it's kind of a shitty thing to do. Nothing against Kevin Smith as a person or a filmmaker, but the idea of only he's seen it and he's going to go on his podcast and he's going to do a review of it. And, well, I don't really care what he thinks about it, because if I don't get to see it and can't form my own opinion on it, I'm not interested. And I really want to see it. I'm a big Batman fan. It sounds really exciting. So I want to see it, and I just don't get why has Kevin Smith got to see it and he gets to do a review of it? And what would be the point of that if we never get to see it? You know, if he goes on there and he's all like, you know, this is great. I love it, and he cries about it, and then he may as well sign off with, well, there it is, shame you guys will never get to see it, because you're not Kevin Smith. Or he's going to say it, maybe have some news at the end that it is being released, which that's great. Or you never know, he might review it and say it's fucking dog shit. He might say this is awful, it's unwatchable, don't release this. So yeah, I'm sure it's a very exciting time to be Kevin Smith, but for everybody else, we're just missing out. It's like a kid with a toy, and he won't let you play with it because it's too expensive, but I'll just tell you about how fun it is to play with. Like, come on, man. So yeah, in a couple of days from now, he'll be doing a podcast and he'll be reviewing it. I'm not going to listen to it unless there is news of a release as well, or in the future, then I might go and check it out. Right, a couple of people, because I was doing this on my own, I went to Instagram and said, hey, if anyone's got any news they want me to talk about or look into, let me know and we will I'll have a go. So this is something from somebody called Miss CJC, who is talking about Wes Anderson not liking the TikTok trend. And yeah, so I had to go on to TikTok and find out what the hell this is all about. Obviously, Wes Anderson has a movie coming out, Asteroid City. It looks very Wes Anderson-y. I am a fan. I'm not shitting on it, but they're all starting to look a bit the same, if I'm being honest. Anyway, yeah, what is this? This is Wes Anderson doesn't appreciate your TikTok parodies of his movies. This is an article from Cracked. Every masterpiece has a cheap knockoff, especially when you're an auteur with a distinctive visual style. Over the last few months, you've probably seen the latest director who has fallen prey to the mighty powers of AI art generators. Ugh. Users have created parodies of box office hits like Star Wars and Avatar in the style of Wes Anderson's work, complete with chintzy music? I've never heard that fucking phrase before. Chintzy. Freakishly symmetric composition, muted pastels, and a title card that ironically reads, film by Wes Anderson, despite having no affiliation with the Rushmore director whatsoever. They've even included some of Anderson's frequent collaborators like Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, and of course, the Wilson brothers. Oh, and here is one of them. The Office. In the start, directed by Wes Anderson.
Need more sales, Stanley.
Oh no!
Not now, Michael. I'm trying to locate Dwight's Beet Farm.
Your attempts to destroy my heritage are pitiful, Stanley. I challenge you to a duel. You, me, the
Jousting. It's so weird.
Hey, would you two please stop? Let's take.
Nope, I've had enough of that. I hate AI. I fucking hate it. It looks. What the fuck is this? Get the fuck out of here. There's another one. The Matrix by Wes Anderson. No one needs this. Despite these videos going viral on TikTok, there's one person who isn't a fan of the Andersonification of some of Hollywood's most recognizable IP, Anderson himself. Currently on a press tour to promote the release of Asteroid City, Anderson spoke with the New York Times on the matter and declared, if somebody sends me something like that, I'll immediately erase it. Now, I don't blame him. I kind of wish I hadn't watched that. It's just hideous. Weird. He continued to express his personal distaste of the TikTok trend with a very candid request that he has shared with his friends. Please, sorry, do not send me things of people doing me. He's got a point. Although the parodies are seemingly innocuous to the thousands of people retweeting them, they do highlight some of the problematic concerns. One in particular regards to the continued debate over the ethics of AI in art and entertainment. Before I go on, in my personal opinion, I don't think AI should be in art and entertainment. It is an art, and I don't have time to go on a 30 to 40 minute rant about the use of AI in the arts. Anyway, the more times a prompt like this is replicated, the smarter systems like Midjourney and DALL-E get, which is generally at the cost of hardworking artists whose work has been stolen from them. Yep. It also contributes to the never-ending discussion around licensing ownership and the very fickle world of copyright law. Another issue is Anderson himself. These videos distill his intentional work as a filmmaker down to a singular aesthetic. Despite many of his films having much more to say beneath the surface, the style in question wasn't even adopted until 2001's The Royal Tenenbaums, Anderson's third film in his impressive filmography, which goes to show that the director evolved as an artist and is much more than a pastiche than the pastiche suggests. Yeah, I fucking hate AI. It looks shit. It can't. It's crap. And even if it was great, I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in art that isn't made by beings. Tom Cruise. Not Tom Cruise. What's the other one called? Tom Hanks was recently talking about AI and saying that, you know, with AI, I can carry on starring in movies long after I'm dead. Like, forever. And I thought, how big is your fucking ego that you you need to stay relevant even after you're dead? Like, who cares? And like that article said, it does. It just takes work away from artists, individuals, you know, actors, writers. It's just taking work away from those people. So if Tom Hanks is still a movie star 100 years from now, that's a whole bunch of movies coming out somebody else could have been paid to be in. Put it this way. A lot of people consider Tom Hanks to be the Jimmy Stewart of his generation, okay? Would Tom Hanks be the star that he is today if Jimmy Stewart had never died and carried on being in movies to this day? Some casting director's like, hey, there's this young actor out there. I've just discovered him. His name's Tom Hanks. I think he's going to be great for this role, this particular character. Like, yeah, well, we could do that. Or, but we've already got Jimmy Stewart in a computer. It's like, let's just, we just push a button and that's it. Let's just stick with Jimmy Stewart in the computer. Okay, sorry, Tom Hanks, you didn't get the role. When you're dead, you're dead. You're done. That's it. Fuck this AI bollocks. Well, what was the other thing somebody said we should talk about? Do something about Ryan Gosling. Sorry, this is from Sans Perel Online. Do something about Ryan Gosling and how he's getting hated on by alphas for Ken. Is he? Fuck. Even Ryan Gosling isn't alpha enough for the alphas. He's Ryan Gosling. Well, surely he's like one of the poster boys for being an alpha, isn't he? He's handsome. He's in shape. He's rich. He's successful. He's married. He's got kids. What have they got against it? Oh, is it because he wearing pink in the fucking movie? Okay, so this is over on TikTok. I couldn't find anything really pertaining to alphas having a problem with Ryan Gosling. But it seems that there is definitely... there is some hate for some reason towards him playing Ken in this is the Barbie movie coming out next month.
Is Ryan Gosling the perfect Ken or is he too old? This question has sparked a furious debate between Gosling and anti-Gosling fans after the release of the Barbie trailer.
Hi Ken!
Anti-Ryan tweet suggests that his 42 years on this planet makes him too ugly and too old to play the role of Ken. Shooting back,
seriously?
Others point out that Ryan Gosling has been on this earth for less time than the character of Ken has been in existence. Unfortunately, it seems like this discourse misses the point of Ken entirely. Because in Barbie lore, Ken is a mere accessory, not a love interest or even a character with any discerning traits. Even Ryan Gosling said, Ken's got no money, he's got no job, he's got no car, he's got no house. So...
he's a bum.
For director Greta Gerwig, a millennial woman who casted a millennial dream boyfriend and whose trailer is one big meta joke about Barbie lore, Ryan Gosling is the perfect Ken.
Who the fuck? Too old? What did they say he was? He's 42 years old. Even if you think 42 is old, the guy looks pretty good for his age. Like, come on. He looks younger than me. And I'm younger than him. Ridiculous. What's this? There's something else here. Some other TikTok video talking about it. Hang on.
How old is Barbie anyway?
Okay, so first of all, she drives her own car.
Yes, yeah, so she has to be 16. She lives in the Barbie dream house, which means she has to be able to afford a mortgage.
Oh,
okay,
I don't
to
care.
Work legally, you have to be 16. She's probably 20.
No.
She's probably 20.
Oh, I totally
What do you
disagree.
Think? How old do you think she is?
I don't give a fuck. What the hell? I don't care. What the fuck? What is this? It's two adults sat there. How old is Barbie? Who gives a shit? It's not even real. I don't care. I just don't give a fuck. It's like, what a stupid fucking conversation. But yeah, 42-year-old playing a Ken doll. I don't know. I don't know anything about Ken dolls or Barbies. I don't really care. Do you know what? I'm probably going to go see it. Don't know why. All right, but that was just some news. We got any deaths? Sorry, we don't do deaths. Treat Williams passed away, I believe, in a motorcycle accident. June 12, 2003, Williams was involved in a motorcycle crash on Vermont Route 60 near Dorset. Yeah, so he passed away. He was 71. Tree Williams, very sad. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend Deep Rising, a film he was in the 90s. 1998 came out, and it was directed by Stephen Sommers, who then went on to do The Mummy with the Brendan Fraser ones. And it's quite similar to The Mummy, actually, but more gory. Right, that was it from me for this episode of News to Drink To. Thank you for sticking around. Don't forget to subscribe to this, whether you be watching on YouTube or listening to your podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back shortly, as soon as we can, as soon as Mr. Smith has stopped winning things at being funny. And the next episode we are going to do is going to be Invasion USA, the Chuck Norris film. I was about to say Chuck Rogers. That's not even the person, is it? The Chuck Norris movie from 1985. It looks ridiculous, so we can't wait to get into that. And we will see you next time. Thank you very much.